When I say the words Cajun food, do you think big, spicy, blackened, lots of people yelling BAM in the kitchen? Well, Melissa Martin was raised in the bayou in Chauvin, Louisiana, and the food she grew up with wasn't much like what we see on TV. She has a restaurant in New Orleans where she serves the home cooking that takes her back to her mother's kitchen. It's called the Mosquito Supper Club, which is also the name of her debut cookbook, and it's a beautiful portrait of the coastal Louisiana she remembers. We're so glad to talk with her about it. Hey, Chef, thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Your book is beautiful, and it's so full of really, I think, intimate descriptions of the place where you grew up in the bayou in southern Louisiana. But I really want to start with, what was mealtime like when you were a kid? Like, did you cook at all?
I didn't cook. I was one of six kids, and my mom cooked three meals a day. I was very lucky. My mom cooked three meals a day. But we all ate together as a family at the table. There were a lot of us. We didn't all fit at the table, so sometimes it was like in shifts. But I always say we ate like kings.
Mm. And what were some of the things you were eating?
Anything that was on my mom's repertoire. So jambalaya and gumbo and beans and fried fish and fried shrimp, boiled seafood, those things.
Yeah. And many years later, as I read in your book, you were in California, right?
Yes.
You were a Katrina evacuee when you kind of realized you wanted to be a chef and that you needed to cook the food you grew up with. What happened?
So I spent some time back in the city after Katrina living in the Treme, and then I took an opportunity to learn how to make wine in the Napa Valley. Mm-hmm. So I spent some time as I call it a harvest rat. And it was the first time I'd ever been to California, and my eyes just sort of got wide at the culinary scene. And so I knew I wanted to work in some restaurants there and learn. And so I got a couple of different cooking gigs, and I worked with some incredible chefs. And that experience definitely opened up my eyes to seasonal cooking, because California has all these incredible systems in place. But it also allowed me to connect how I ate growing up to how people were eating in the Napa Valley, and you know what was becoming this like catchy farm to table thing. I was almost confused about it because it's just how we lived on the bayou.
Mm. Tell us about the food on the bayou, right? Because I think, and you say it yourself, you write that, you know, Cajun food and culture are often misrepresented, and I think in the larger, you know, culture, those of us who haven't spent time in Louisiana, and maybe even those of us who have, you know, this idea of quote-unquote Cajun food comes from the 80s, comes from Paul Prudhomme, comes from, you know, blackened redfish, which, as I later learned, is really a restaurant dish and wasn't really a dish that people really had in homes.
Right. I definitely never had blackened redfish.
Really?
Never.
Yeah, but the rest of us around the country are like, oh, blackened food, like that's what Cajun food is. But that's not really how you ate at all.
No, I mean, one of the things that I do in the cookbook is try to dispel myths, many Cajun myths. Mm. One, that our food is spicy. I never had spicy food growing up, but it's just my mom made it really balanced so all her children would eat it. Mm. So, you know, there's that. And, you know, there's just an idea of what Cajun food is. And, you know, it's true that every family has a different gumbo. A different jambalaya, a different etouffee, a different stew. So what I tried to do in the book is just focus on the simple food that we ate down in this micro region in Louisiana that was heavily influenced by the seafood industry around us. All of my family were shrimpers and crabbers and oyster fishermen. So that was the ingredients that dictated what my mom would make on any given day, or what my grandmother would make, or, you know, my mom's sisters would make. It was all the women that were cooking on the bayou. Men would oftentimes cook in seafood boils, but in my family, my dad made cornflakes. So I think that with the book, I wanted to show how simple it was for me growing up, and I didn't want there to be any smoke and mirrors. I think Cajun gets, what's the word I'm looking for? It's often represented as this big thing. I mean, Emeril Lagasse represented it as this, you know, big bam. Right. And yes, it has a lot of energy in it, but it's really simple for me. The rhythms of the bayou and what happened on the table is much simpler than it's represented.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we like to gather as big groups and eat together, but, you know, it's simpler than I think it's been represented.
Sure. What are some of the dishes that you like to make now that you feel really speak to your family and what you grew up with?
So at the restaurant, we always have some dishes that I just can't take off the menu. So the gumbos that we cook are shrimp, okra, and crab gumbo. Gumbo and okra are the same word. Mm. And we like to share that dish with our customers who come in, because it's a gumbo that isn't necessarily cooked in New Orleans and I haven't seen anywhere else. It's a gumbo without a roux. Most people expect a roux when they have their gumbo. So we love to have that on the menu. During oyster season, we love to have my grandmother's oyster soup, another soup that I never had anywhere else.
Tell us about that oyster soup.
So that's a soup that's made with oyster liquor. So my grandfather was an oyster fisherman, and my great-grandfather, and my dad met my mom oyster fishing with her dad. So one thing, if you're an oyster fisherman, is you have a lot of oysters, and you're chucking those oysters into containers, and you have all this extra liquor. And so we make this oyster soup with like a gallon and a half of oyster liquor, which you can only really get if you're shucking them yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's the base of it, whereas someone might use stock for the soup. The base is just this like delicious, briny.
Pure oyster juice. Oh my
yeah,
God.
And we just cook it with... cook it with onions and garlic and fresh tomatoes from the farmer's market. And, you know, we add our oysters in at the last minute. And, you know, it's just this delicious soup that when I eat it, I could see it in, you know, sort of raked across Basque country. It's almost like a bouillabaisse or something that you would have in Western France in a little fishing village.
That's so interesting. Well, first of all, I think that dish sounds incredible because you're right, like that is something you wouldn't really ever have if oystering isn't part of your lifestyle, if that's not in your family, because it would be so ridiculously decadent to go get a gallon and a half of oyster juice unless you're swimming in it.
Yeah, and that's just like growing up, it was just there. The ingredients were just there. You had a seafood boil and you had crabs left over and you picked that crab and then you made crab cakes. But to start from scratch and not have this like abundance of seafood around you, whether it be crabs or oyster liquor or crawfish, then you're looking at a much steeper price just because of the way the industry has changed. And right now, currently, I don't live in a fishing village. I live in the city of New Orleans. But even for my parents down on the bayou, it's harder for them to have those ingredients on hand as they get older. And the people of the community, you know, not everyone is making a career in fishing. It's become really, really difficult. So,
yeah. And that's one of the reasons I really appreciate your book, because it is a snapshot of this place that, and I think this is a much larger conversation, but is really changing because of climate change, is really changing because of technology and the economy changing. And it's really amazing to travel to this place that you're from, the fishing villages and the communities of the bayou. So thank you so much for this, Jeff. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Melissa Martin is the author of Mosquito Supper Club. If you go to splendidtable.org, you can find her recipe for smothered chicken, which our producer Sally made and literally cannot stop talking about. She even sent me a picture of herself from her kitchen with goggles on, because you have to cut 3 pounds of onions for it, but she swears it was beyond worth it.